Please welcome to the stage Daniel McCoy and Stuart Wellington.
Hello. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, guys.
How many of you actually listen to the show?
Whoa,
good.
Not bad.
And how many of you just like wandered in from DragCon? Like, all right. So it's about an even split. That's all
right.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. That's better than our shows normally are.
The show's a little different than we normally have. Our co-host, Elliot, Kalen. Usually the motor mouth star of the show. He recently moved to LA and it was too fast for him to come back. He's like a month ago. So
it's
like,
too fast and too furious.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. See you guys later.
So he was like, screw you guys, do it on your own. And instead we got Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show, one of the correspondents, and he will be coming out in just a second. But I just wanted to clarify in case Elliot, like, fans
were
in the audience.
Oh, wow, people,
like,
when you said Elliot wasn't here, people start coming in. Wow, they're so excited. They don't want their ears to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that I've gotten done burning Elliot, thanks for coming out. We will talk about our show. Thanks. I don't know what else to say, Dan. You had a bunch of plans for vamping.
No, I just, this is what passes for warming up the crowd with us. So, good luck to us, I suppose. Yeah, we should just bring Ronnie out now. I just wanted to do a little chat.
We did great.
Yeah. Come on out.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me, everybody. It's so nice to be here. Very glad that I made it. I got to say, the people at RudCon, super unhelpful. Very unhelpful. Asked them for directions to Podcast Fest. They did not care at all about my situation.
But they looked pretty great, though, right?
They were super good-looking models.
I think it's funny that like they put the coolest convention
in the basement
next to the nerdiest convention.
They took one look at me and was like, you're not buying a rug. We don't care about...
Yeah. Because there's a rug convention, too, right? Is that what somebody
that
was saying?
Conceit of the...
What?
The bit.
No, I thought there was a rug convention.
There's a rug convention?
Yeah, that's why I said it's a rug. The rug convention people, they're unhelpful.
Like that?
Yeah, I think
thing?
So. Yeah.
Dan's pointing at the floor.
Yeah.
All right.
Super cool. Thank you for having
me. We should get started with the show.
Thanks.
Ronnie, do you want a water?
Thank you so much. I almost did not make this
podcast.
Yeah,
let's save it for the
show. Oh, you want to say? Oh, yeah. Show hasn't started yet? Oh, okay.
Well, we're gonna do the intro.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll do the show.
Sure, okay.
Just for the purposes of if we release this later on, we have to pretend like this is a professional outfit. So
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do the intro. On tonight's episode, we discuss Catwoman.
Live from the Javits Center.
All right. Got it in one.
That went pretty good, yeah.
Got it in one. All right. So let's just start off. Hello and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Brian Chang.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We should have gone over that.
I figured he's a smart guy. He can pick up what's going on.
I figured the body language when you pointed to me. Yes, that's my
sure. That's right. We have a guest host in place of Elliot Kalen. It is The Daily Show's Ronnie Chang.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I've heard a lot about this podcast. Everywhere I go to around the world, actually, people tell me about this podcast.
Okay.
In Singapore, I'm being interviewed while I'm doing a movie. Just not bragging. And while I'm doing a movie, press comes, and all the press wants to talk about is how I'm on the same show as Dan McCoy from Flophouse.
That's not true.
That is true. She goes, but Dan McCoy on the Flophouse, right? I'm like, I can't believe you know this. Because I used to live in Australia, and I used to live in Singapore, and when I go back to Australia to do shows, They even in Australia talk about the Flophouse. So you guys got
even in Australia.
Yeah. So you guys gotta do a show. Shout
even
out Australia and Singapore.
Descendants of criminals. Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say go there do a show, but not anymore. You can't. You just killed your Australian market with that. But yeah, they man everywhere globally they tell me, oh, you work with Dan McCoy from the Flophouse. I'm like, yes, I do. I'm also very famous as well. If you want to talk to me, but. No,
usually when people say you work with Dan McCoy from the Flophouse, they say it almost like a threat. Like I'm not leaving this escape room alive.
No, we should. I think it's fun to just mention that. So Ronnie, you almost didn't make it here today.
Yeah, I made it 1 minute before you called my name on stage. When I came, I got here. I was doing a show in Arkansas. University of Arkansas yesterday. Great show. Great people. It went well. It did. It was
no,
good.
It's great.
Yeah, I had very low expectations, but it went very well. And then the
of
students.
The state or?
No, the it was a college gig, and usually you have low expectations for stand up at colleges because I always feel like they're going to be jaded teenagers who are too cool for school and smart asses. But they weren't. They were super cool people. They were super friendly and really nice. And the gig went well, and I actually enjoy traveling around America because I've only been in America for 2 years, and so I'm not jaded. So I like to see different places, and I read Bill Clinton's biography twice. So I'm a big fan of Arkansas. And
are you going to be taking signups for the admissions at the
University
of
Arkansas,
Arkansas
yeah.
after the
Shout
show?
Shout out yeah. University of Arkansas. You guys were great. Thanks for having me. And then I came back. I got a 6 a.m. flight just to make this podcast. I know. But then the first flight, they had an intercom problem. Like one of those things that was like the tiniest problem but caused the biggest issue. So 1 hour, that flight got delayed by 1 hour. Then on my Delta app, it pops up like, hey, do you want to reroute your flight through Washington, D.C. and get here? I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll rebook. So I rebooked it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. No, jeez. But then after, no, the story's not over yet.
Oh, okay.
And then... And then I rebooked.
But you are saying that this podcast almost was destroyed by audio issues?
Yeah. on plane. And then I rebooked it on the app because I thought technology is helpful. And so I rebooked it. And then the flight turned out to leave like, you know, I made my connection, but I couldn't get on it because I rebooked.
No.
I know. And then I had to wait till 12:30 for the next one. And I got on that flight, and then someone on that flight had a heart attack. And then we were delayed
what?
At the yeah,
what?
We were delayed at what he had to go out. I was like, it's so fucking inconsiderate for these people have heart attacks on planes. And then that's why I was so late for this. And then I made it here just when you said Ronnie Chang, and I walked in. I was like, yes.
Ronnie, did you run over an elderly woman who could have been a witch? Is that possible?
I was looking at my phone, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe that happened. But
thank God.
So this is a True Tales of Travel podcast.
Yeah.
I know that's incredibly boring, but it was a very exhilarating morning for me.
No, you
have no idea. And I've been looking forward to doing this podcast, so.
You needed a little time to decompress. You needed a vent to the audience.
Oh, yeah, I did. I know. It's one of those. I know I sound like the crazy punch right now, but I had a very crazy morning.
But this is not a travel podcast, despite what Stuart just said. The trickster god, Stuart. This is a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then we talk about it. And Ronnie chose our movie.
Yes.
This time.
Yes.
And it's Catwoman 2004.
Starring Halle Berry, yeah.
Yep.
Now, why did you choose this movie, Ronnie?
Because it's popped up on a bad movie list for a long time, but I've never gone around to watching it, and so this would have motivated me to.
The way you say you've never gotten around to watching it,
and also I feel like with the current tone of like Marvel movies, it's important to reflect on superhero movies. In times past.
Yeah.
And the lessons we learned from them.
And you want to see how to build a cinematic universe.
Around, Catwoman. So,
we should go over what actually happened in this movie. I'm pulling out my notes here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I actually have an iPad with it on. If you guys want. Yeah.
We just show it to the audience.
Right. interesting movie as well that when it came out. I mean, there was lots of hype around it, I think.
And it starred an Oscar winner, right?
Yeah. Sharon Stone as well, all-star cast.
No.
So it had a lot of hype.
and a number of cats are in the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, famous cats.
Francis Conroy coming hot off the heels of 6 Feet Under. A TV show.
No, that's right.
It's the new movies.
Three Asian people in the movie I counted the whole time. So shout out Asians in film. Yeah. There was the there was the henchman, second henchman, and then there was the forensic scientist, Benita Ha, and then there was burglar.
Burglar, yeah.
Burglar number two.
So they're really making inroads, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It was a real watershed moment for Asians in cinema.
So the movie opens.
Yeah, the movie opens. That's
and we
accurate.
Are introduced to patients. What's
oh,
name?
Wait, no, before that, we
before
have.
Before the opening
before
of the movie.
Before the opening, we have the freaking Illuminati of cats.
Oh,
they
sure.
They show us how cats have been shaping world events
throughout history.
Their hidden agenda throughout history,
Cats have been creating chemtrails for a long time.
I mean, do you remember that? The opening scene was like a montage of cats in history influencing global events.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, man, if you think about it.
Oh, my God.
Your Patience Phillips is the name.
Patience Phillips.
So this is the first indication that this is not going to be a traditional Catwoman movie, since Selena Kyle is the actual Catwoman.
Okay, stop staring at me, Dan. It's cool. Right.
Selena Kyle.
Okay, I get it.
So she works for a cosmetics company.
Of course she does.
That is about to do a new skin cream called Boline.
I think it's Boline is how they pronounce it.
Boline,
correct.
Did you just read the novelization?
That's right. I didn't have time, so I decided to do the thing that would take more time to do. I read the Cliff's Notes of the novelization, written by Alan Dean Foster. Anyway, a lot of Alan Dean Foster fans in the audience today. Boline? What did you say?
Boline is the name of the product. Yep. We're introduced to it because Alex Borstein, the best friend, who's quirky, got a hold of an early advanced copy of the cream, and she's been smearing it on her face. She talks about how great it is, but then she immediately says, but I've been having these weird headaches.
Surely that doesn't foreshadow anything.
No, no, no. That's completely unrelated.
She drank too much.
So it's supposed to reverse the effects of aging, this cream.
Oh.
Patience has a delivery to make late at night in the research and development department.
Oh, man, you're going way too fast.
Right.
We have to touch on the fact that we have a meet-cute with hunky Benjamin Bratt, where she is chasing a cat outside of a building, almost falls to her death, but luckily Benjamin Bratt breaks. Oh man, I can't say that many B's.
Benjamin
Bratt breaks into her apartment and saves her at the last second, and it's really great. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
And this shows the bond, the burgeoning bond, Benjamin Bratt
between
the burgeoning bond that Patience has with cats. That she is so willing to go out and save a cat by dangling from a building.
Oh, she stands on top of an AC unit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's, I don't know. That's as dangerous as you can get in New York City, to stand on an AC unit. Yeah,
Ronnie Chang's like, the more you know.
Yeah, never stand on an AC unit. Even I know that. I'm not even from America. I'm like, I've never seen an AC unit in my life. I'm like, don't stand on that. That's not going to support your weight.
I know you got to find that cat, but why don't you have a little more patience? That's her character's name.
And, by the way, Benjamin Bratt, if his character's name's easier to say, it's Tom Lone, I think, is it?
Tom Lone. A normal name.
Yeah.
So she's chasing this cat. This is a cat that she saw.
Which mysteriously appears and disappears, teleporting. This
she
cat
sees
is,
it briefly when her neighbors keep her up late at night by blasting Hooba Stank.
Yes, I'm glad. Did you watch it with the subtitles?
I watched it with the subtitles on.
I did too.
I'm sure they're contractually obligated to mention that it's Hooba Stank. Hooba Stank had that in their rider, I guess. Is that what they...
And then this cat keeps teleporting like Nightcrawler. Just
all over
one
minute
is outside on a motorcycle, one minute is in the house, one minute is on the tempting you to commit suicide.
It's not a normal kitty cat, Dan. And then flash forward to the mysterious late night delivery you were talking about before.
Yes.
I interrupted you.
Sorry. Yeah, she was going to deliver something, and she goes down into the research and development lab and overhears that this new beauty product has horrible side effects.
No.
It scars people's faces.
But that's the opposite of what it should be doing.
Yeah. And Sharon Stone's like, I don't care. If you keep using the cosmetic cream, it doesn't do any of this to you. So let's just ship it out.
Yeah.
Which seems ridiculous. I mean, it seems like no matter how evil Sharon Stone is supposed to be as this cosmetics magnate, like, you would think that you'd be like, okay, we're going to get sued. You know? Like, we can't
just... Yeah, she's, like, driven by money, right? That's the idea behind this, is that...
Well, she's also driven by, like, not wanting to age. Sharon Stone, like, she used to be the face of this cosmetics company, and she's been replaced by younger people because the world is cruel to women.
Oh, that's what they're trying to say with that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I said that as if it's a joke, but it's just a true thing.
Yeah. Her motivations are very unclear now that you mention it. I don't know what she was. Was she trying to make money, or was she trying to... I mean, if she wants to be beautiful, she'd keep it for herself. So I don't know what the fuck she's... You know,
that's true. Unless there. Maybe she wants to make ensure that she has, like, a steady supply.
Of money?
Of Beoline, the magical...
Oh, but
the magic
again,
power-giving stuff.
Again,
that
now that you mention, I never thought of that. But yeah, the motivations are very unclear.
Okay,
yeah.
So Patience overhears this. She goes running around. A henchman chases her.
Yeah, they're going to shoot her because of this.
Yep.
Like, they're just adding murder.
Makes
to their
sense
list.
To me.
By the way,
she's on their property, Dan.
This is a top secret facility part of having a conversation in this, like, laboratory. She manages to stroll right in, despite not being able to get in the front door. She couldn't get in the front door. That's why she strolled into the most, like, secure part of the building instead.
She has to deliver these. And her boss gave her a deadline of midnight.
She has
to do a physical delivery at midnight. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This is in 2004. There's email then, right? I don't remember. It's like 13
phones.
Years ago.
They had Nokia phones there. I remember. Because of the product placement. It's very clear in my head.
This top secret cosmetics facility. Let's just rest that phrase in your mind for a little bit. she runs down like this... drainage tube, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a basement designed by H.R. Giger.
And they release a bunch of water, spewing patients out into the river, you know, where she drowns.
Of course, yeah, that makes sense.
And then she's brought back to life by cats.
Yep, a computer-generated cat climbs on her dead body's chest and breathes life into her body, man. It makes perfect
vomits
sense.
Vomits life into her nostrils, yes.
Yeah.
And this is like...
You have a cat, Dan.
Take this life. I ate it last night.
It would be great if it came out in hairball form.
Yeah, life. Oh, that's just a hairball. Sorry, now this is the life.
That's basically the Hidden, Dan, the movie The Hidden, where the weird alien worm travels from one person's mouth to another person's mouth.
Yeah.
Check Watch The Hidden, it's guys. It's great.
It's
an allegory for STDs, yeah.
But this is another departure from Catwoman mythos. Like, the only... I mean, this is actually the way that in Batman Returns she's brought back to, like, life by cats. But I don't think that in the comics this ever happens. Like, in the comics, she doesn't have superpowers. She's just a cat burglar. Like, she's just really good at, like, doing flips and whipping people and stuff.
So you're rushing ahead and saying that in addition to being brought back to life, she gains the powers of a cat.
Yes. And that's actually the one... That's actually the one scene that I kind of liked in the movie, where she was, like, walking around her apartment. Like, she suddenly has these cat powers, and she is doing, like,
go
balance
on, Dan.
Beam stuff on the sofa. And I don't know, like, the fact
that...
The
one scene she's doing balance beam stuff. Like, anytime she walks into a room and there's a table, she's like, I'm jumping on that table.
Yeah, but by the way, anytime you see her walk in this movie as Catwoman, suddenly she becomes, like, a Victoria's Secrets... Like Victoria's Secret. What was that?
Victoria's Secret angel or
angel?
A model?
Yeah, like she's like walking a catwalk. Literally every time she walks.
I get it now.
Also, I mean, for struggling, like she's supposed to be the loser, right? The quintessential loser. Her apartment is huge. Her apartment has a studio in it.
She does have a great apartment.
Oh, her apartment is super.
It has
big,
an air conditioner. We talked about that. There's when she comes back from the dead, she's covered in mud, and she jumps up. Instead of going in through the front door like a cat, she jumps up a full story.
And breaks her own window.
Breaks her own window just like a cat would. And then flash forward to the next morning where she's sleeping on a shelf. First off, that's a very sturdy shelf.
Yes.
And she's totally clean. And I'm like, where's the scene of her cleaning herself with her tongue? Wait, is that...
No, I mean, it's kind of gross.
Okay. Go on, Dan.
No, it sounds like you wanted it to turn into sort of an erotic.
Come on, dude, like a cat. I don't find cats that erotic.
That erotic.
Yeah, I left the door open a little.
Nothing sexier than a good Garfield strip. So she goes to
To work. She loses her job because, like a cat, she's mean to her boss. Yeah.
But no, she's not even completely mean. She has that weird switching back and forth. She at one point she's like meek, and then she gets aggressive, and then she immediately apologizes for it.
Is actually kind of like a cat. She finds that magic cat again and opens up the charm box on its necklace, and that's what they call those things on a cat's neck,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
A necklace. And it's got a intricately folded piece of paper with an address, like you'd expect. She follows that to a crazy library about cat myths owned by Francis Conroy.
Mm-hmm.
How am I doing, Dan? Am I covering
great.
This? Okay. And then Frances Conroy is kind of weird, and then she throws, catnip in Halle Berry's face? And that's the moment when I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, Halle Berry. You got to roll this catnip ball on your face for like a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so Halle
she
Berry
won
learns.
An Academy Award, Dan.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
Then she throws the ball of catnip, and she rolls it on her face and starts like smelling her hands. Because apparently cat powers come with all the downsides of being a cat.
Like, that was the point when I'm like, I don't think this is going to be a serious take on this character.
Yeah, she starts shedding all over the place all of a sudden.
Yeah, starts being a dick to the owner.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I would love, there's a deleted scene where she just gets distracted by some string in the middle of a conversation.
That's basically what was happening. I mean, I don't want to jump ahead.
Yeah, she's
here.
Like, and she's also like, you're getting too close to the heart of this mythology. I'm going to throw catnip in your face to distract you.
Yeah, Frances Conroy pushes Halle Berry off of a balcony, basically, and she like lands on
all. Because her balcony has like
breakaway,
like a swinging door, like a saloon door into nothingness.
Yeah, in case she ever wants to jump down. Yeah, and they really hammer home that. We get it. She's got cat characteristics. The whole movie, they keep hammering that. From the one point, she's eating cat food by the tin. It's like,
says, "I'm just having a little snack." Like, fuck off, dude.
Yeah, what a weird way. I can't help but feel that's tied to this being like a man trying to make a female hero and making her have to have the powers of like the actual animal.
Yeah,
like, it's like Batman having to swoop down and eat worms at night, mm-hmm. or something. It's
well yeah, Batman's like walking around like, I can't see anything, let me yell at it for a second.
And we're like, no wall here.
On the note of, I wanted to say this later, but on you just brought it up, on the note of them making a superhero movie from women, like, what is more insulting than like the studio heads being like, all right, we got to make a superhero movie for women. What could the MacGuffin be? What could this all be about? I know, cosmetics.
Yep.
Like, that's all they care about, right? Like,
yeah. That's the highest stakes possible.
Yeah, let's make the villain this makeup magnate.
Yeah, so she discovers that not only does she have these powers, but she's going to use them to go steal a necklace that she saw. So she goes running out into the night.
No. She beats up the noisy neighbors.
She beats up the noisy neighbors.
She beats up noisy neighbors
who
for some reason have a bar in an apartment. A full-fledged bar with the neon light and everything.
Ronnie,
and for some reason, they're bikers as well in this apartment.
It's just a cool party, dude. Come on, it's a second-floor apartment where they carried kegs all the way up and have been installed, I don't know, like professional grade speaker equipment.
Well, yeah, then they have like they have a seltzer sprayer in this apartment.
I'm pretty sure that was a beer keg, Dan.
That was it?
I don't want to, you know, hurt your virgin ears here.
I'm sorry.
And then they sprayed it straight into the speakers, and then the bikers got angry. And then she beats the bikers up, and then she go. And then after she's been complaining about how she can't sleep because of this party, she immediately decides to go out and have a party. As in, she doesn't go home and sleep. After she destroys the party, she goes home and pulls out the leather outfit, which for some reason,
She does her hair and she steals her neighbor's motorcycle, and then we get a great scene of her riding around the town in super fast motion. Where in some scenes she's wearing a helmet, in other scenes no helmet at all. Where'd it go?
Yeah, and she goes to a jewelry store where she had seen this beautiful piece of jewelry before.
Yeah,
and it just happens to be being robbed at the very same time.
Yep,
so
it makes sense to me.
She does the obvious thing, which is she puts on a mask that
like
she finds
a domino mask.
In the it's like a jeweled mask, but it's like
what
you
I
know,
said,
like a Catwoman mask.
Yep,
and she fights crime all of a sudden, like she like fights these thieves off, which is a weird place for her to go. Like after everything that's happened to her, like I don't feel like the next logical step is like, oh, I'm a Catwoman, I'm going through all these changes, I'm going to fight these burglars. Yeah, I'm going
my
through
my body's changing.
Yeah. I just don't know what the, like, there's no logical progression in the screenplay at that point where she goes from, like, being kind of, like, freaked out but into this new power that she has to, like, I got to whip these guys.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, are you saying there is, like, a kind of a plot hole in this movie, Dan?
I am saying that.
So that's our exciting sequence of her like running around, and that's where you see that the director has almost exclusively a background in visual effects.
Yes. And his name is Petoff.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a one word name.
Yeah,
so
which
it
is
must
always
be
a good sign for when you're watching a movie. Go to a director.
He's like
with a
Rihanna
name.
Or I don't know, Beyonce or Madonna. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Petoff.
All those famous directors.
And anytime like there's something cool happen. Well, anytime they're trying to convey coolness in this movie.
Okay, good save. You saved yourself.
They play like the weirdest music that. Like at one point, she's playing 1-on-1 basketball with Benjamin Bratt.
I
and
forgot
then,
fucking
about
forgot
this.
Wait, but, okay,
about
before
that.
The basketball scene, before the basketball scene, before that, it's still in the burglary. In the burglary, they're playing like weird 90s. It's 2004. I don't know why they're playing 90s music. And it's
the director's French. That's why.
They had just gotten that music there.
It's never remixed. It always sounds like someone just pressed play on the iPod and then pressed stop. Like when the action stops. And then during the fight.
So, yes, there's a basketball match, and there's a whole lot of record scratches. So, you know, they're doing basketball good.
Yeah, the way that Patience flirts with Benjamin Bratt is they do a 1-on-1 basketball matchup.
Uh huh, because she's a cat
and
cat's like balls.
Guys, let's do this scene justice. First, she goes, because she stood her up because she died. So she stood up Benjamin Bratt at a date because she accidentally died and she couldn't make it. So she didn't make it to the 1 p.m. coffee date. And Benjamin Bratt's a bit upset. Like, yo, I'm here, but I got to go to work. So,
like,
you know.
The next time I flake on something, I'm going to use that excuse. Yeah. I mean, like,
I'm sorry, I died
last night. Some cats brought me back.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
So,
but
yeah, Benjamin Bratt is like, yo, I'm waiting here. You're not here, but I got to go to work. So peace out. And, you know, the only acceptable excuse is if you die.
Yeah.
So he goes, and then she feels guilty. So she looks for him at this elementary school, which he's giving a motivational speech to for some reason, telling kids to be good. And then he goes like, okay, let's go play some basketball.
Yep.
And they all go play basketball. Uh-huh. And that's when this awesome scene happens. No,
it's your traditional basketball flirting with a lot of butt bumping. And they challenge each other to a basketball match. They're both wearing leather jackets. So you're like, you can't play in that. That's crazy. And, so Patience grabs the ball, bounces it a couple times, jumps off the wall, and everyone's like, whoa!
Does a little parkour basketball.
Yep. Fast forward to Patience doing a really good dunk using her cat vision, and then she lands on top of him, and the best line delivery in the movie is when the kid goes up to them and says, "Can I have my ball back?"
Are you guys done with your pre-fucking rituals?
It's so weird. And oh, you also forgot to mention they play Scandalous during that.
Oh.
Who is it? See, by? Who is that one?
I don't know. But, I mean.
So Scandalous. Many a nightclub.
We don't have the rights to that song.
Oh, we can't sing it.
Can't sing it.
But many if you a hum it, Dan can Shazam it with his phone that he's staring at.
That's right.
Yeah, so they start flirting. Kids are around. They're like bumping asses.
She steals a bunch of stuff. She gives it back in a bag that says sorry.
But keeps one thing.
She keeps one thing, of course. She stopped those burglars. That's one thing is worth stopping burglars. It makes sense.
Does she keep the ring and she keeps the necklace? Does she keep the necklace? Or
I wasn't paying that close attention to that part.
Okay. I think she kept the necklace as well. I can't remember. And I think that necklace came from Egypt.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Just like the cat that
just
brought
like
her back
the cat
to life.
Mummies and all that. Yeah. It ties in because it's a well-written story. Yeah. It loops all the way to the front where we...
How's your email doing, Dan?
So Patience does... I'm reading my notes. Patience does a bunch of detective work.
Uh-huh.
And she gets accused of murder because the scientist got murdered.
Yeah, so at this point she has made herself a Catwoman suit. And we get, as you said, it's a superhero movie made for women, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And so we get a scene where the camera circles around very slowly around Halle Berry's body as she walks. And it's super weird. And then we cut to about 5 minutes of a computer-generated Halle Berry sliding all over the roofs of Gotham City. Is it Gotham?
No, they never mentioned.
Yeah, I don't even think they go that far. Like... this is like, it's weird, right? To take a property that everyone knows and then just be like, nope. You know? Tell me, Stuart, what was the thinking behind this?
I don't know.
You greenlit this film, right?
I did. I thought it was going to be a fun romp, and it would tie in nicely with Batman Begins,
all right.
Which came out probably around the same time, right?
1 year later, yeah.
One year. Really? Wait, it came out 1 year
Jesus
after?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like the
and Batman Begins
Batman
didn't have
City.
Any of that cool music.
Yeah. There was the one link to Batman and DC Universe at all was when the Catwoman, Frances Conway, throws a bunch of pictures of Catwoman. Like, literally throws it in the air.
She's like,
look at this shit.
Pick these up.
Look at all these Catwomen who's existed throughout history. And she throws it and it flutters down after she pushes her off the balcony. Which is
she throws a handful of pictures at her.
Yeah, and one of the pictures is of Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
Oh. Yeah.
It's right there in the middle of the frame. It's like, this is what we were trying to
get
do.
It?
But instead...
It's called an Easter egg, guys.
So I don't know if that means they're in the same universe or in this Catwoman movie they have Batman Returns in them. I don't know what.
Yeah. That's a screenshot of the movie Batman Returns that exists in this world.
In this world, right. It's not Michael Keane. It's Sylvester Stallone playing
Sylvester
Batman.
Stallone in this universe. Yeah. Okay, what an interesting choice.
Yeah, I'm Batman.
Oh, don't even try it.
I can't do it. Elliot's not here.
Don't even try it.
Catwoman was accused of murder. She's locked up for a while. I lost the thread a little bit.
Okay, so after the scientist is killed, she visits Alex Borenstein in the hospital, and she sees a news story where the head of the company says, even though the head scientist was murdered, we're still going to release this beauty product,
yeah.
Which is crazy, dude. How often do you see like a news story about a beauty product?
Yeah. Maybe it's Taxi TV. I don't know.
So we're assuming that this guy's the bad guy. Whoops, no. Sharon Stone tricks Catwoman into showing up at her mansion, only to find out that her husband, the head of the company, has been killed with a bunch of scratches on him because Sharon Stone killed him to make it look like Catwoman did it.
Yeah.
She explains her whole plan. She throws a gun to Catwoman, who's wearing gloves, and then she starts crying, and then a shitload of cops show up. Like, what the fuck was going on, dude? Did she have them, like, hidden in a closet somewhere? And she's like, My husband's meeting with Catwoman. I think they'll be done in a minute, and then just come in when I start crying.
It's like Chris Hansen to catch a Catwoman. Hey, sit down. What are you doing there? Killing her husband? All right, let's talk about this.
She's like, no, I just followed this ball of string here.
Is that some catnip? You got some catnip?
Yeah, so Sharon says, like, bake them away, toys, and they take her away. And
how long were you working on that bake 'em away toys?
I mean, it's a Simpsons reference. It's not even mine. That's the real tragedy of it. That's the real tragedy of today.
Wait, now I'm confused as well, because doesn't she try to? She tries to kill her ex-boss first, right, at the opera with the swinging people, and then
she confronts him at an opera. Then the security shows up with guns. But she runs
escapes.
Across the stage. Yeah. The opera continues. These performers are no fucking joke, dude.
No one stops. No
a Catwoman is climbing up the set and running around, and they're like, show's got to go on. So she gets in like a love fight with Benjamin Bratt in the, what, in the rafters? I don't know what that shit's called behind a stage, Dan. You're the theater dude.
The rafters.
I did it.
Yeah, you got it.
So she gets in a fight with Benjamin Bratt in the rafters. She gives him a big old smoocheroonie on his cheek, and then she escapes after, shorting out the entire theater. And I can only assume those performers kept going.
Yeah, she takes a live electrical cable and, like, puts it to the circuit board, which is exactly the way you want to play with electricity, by the way.
And at that point, I'm like, you know, Benjamin Bratt's character was into Patience Phillips, but now him and Catwoman, I think I'm seeing sparks. You're welcome.
I don't even get that joke.
Like there's like an attraction there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So then it was
get out of
like
here,
there
dude.
No, there's no extra level to it that I missed.
No,
no, it was as base as you first thought it was. Yeah.
Now I gotta make a little bit of a confession here, Stuart.
Okay, guys. Turn the lights down, everybody.
I hate to do this in front of an audience that is halfway made up of people who have never listened to the show before.
Sure, okay.
Because I feel like it smacks of total unprofessionalism, what I'm about to admit.
Uh-huh.
I started dozing off in the second half of this movie.
No. No, what happened, Dan?
I was in and out of consciousness.
Get out of here. For real?
Well, you lucked out, man, my friend.
You know, you have fallen asleep during, let's say, many of the movies we've watched for our podcast that you do as a professional podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did you have... Are you just thinking that the rest of the movie was a dream?
I mean, it has the quality of a fever dream, but I did see... Can we skip to the end? I mean, I feel like we're moving...
We can easily skip to the end, Dan. We get a showdown between Sharon Stone.
Yeah. It's been revealed that what happens with this cosmetic thing is if you stop using it, you get the big scars. But if you keep using it, your skin becomes super hard like diamonds.
Like living marble.
Is that what they say?
That's what she says while battling.
So I guess she's like, I mean, I want to know what her like superhero name would be. Like Cream Girl.
What?
Like this person who got her powers through like the use of like a beauty cream. Like,
oh,
her powers
beauty
like,
cream. That's why you called her that.
No, it was not some sort of like.
No, just keep
vaguely...
going. Just keep going.
I don't really have anything else.
Okay, so Cream Girl is your only.
That's my best.
Professional writer Dan McCoy, blue sky in it, comes up with Cream Girl.
I was hoping that we were going to start a big brainstorming sesh.
Okay, like the Marble Lady.
Marble Lady.
And also, when the police Marble. First hear of Catwoman. You hear some guys in the background saying, what are we going to call her? Cat babe? Cat chick?
Nah.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, you're
no, they go. No, oh, I thought you were going to say what they actually said. In
what
the
do
movie,
they actually say?
Nah, let's call her cat broad. That's what happens in the movie.
Give each other high five.
Yeah.
And then they start a podcast called The Flophouse.
Yeah, so they go on a big fight. Catwoman has one of those things that happens in movies where she's like on the ropes. It looks like she's almost certainly going to die. And she just magically, like, through the force of will, she's like, you know what? I'm going to win this fight.
Uh-huh.
And so she, like, beats the crap out of
She says some kind of phrase that I think was intended to be really cool. Ronnie, I think you're dying to say it.
No, you go ahead.
I don't even remember
it. Oh, it was Sharon Stone goes, Sharon Stone has a, on the window.
She's hanging out of a window about to die.
Glassless window, and Sharon Stone's about to deliver the final blow, and she says, game over. Then Halle Berry says, it's overtime. And then she comes back in. Yeah.
Amazing.
And then at this point, she's able to defeat the fuck out of Sharon Stone.
She then beats up Sharon Stone because she's so shocked at what an awesome line that was.
Very quick.
She then kicks her out a window and she dies. The end of that story.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and Catwoman
tries to save her. Does the hero thing? Tries to, like, no, give me your hand. And then Sharon Stone sees her reflection.
She's like, I'm old. Yeah. I gotta die.
Which is an allegory for
how
women in Hollywood.
How I feel every morning, guys.
And, and at the end, Benjamin Bratt is left alone. Catwoman sends him a message being like,
I can't date you anymore because I'm a Catwoman.
I only date cats up with now.
If you know any cat men, please introduce me. But otherwise,
My cat parents are like, can't you date a nice cat man?
But he's really good at basketball. But no,
so, and the cat's a doctor?
She goes off, I guess, to fight crime? I don't know.
It's ambiguous.
It's ambiguous what she's going to do in her
life. No one knows what the fuck she's going to do at this point. Because she's like, sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm bad. Deal with it. If you don't love me at my worst.
I'm a bitch, I'm a mother.
Then you don't deserve me at my best. And then I'm going to go take this whip and swing around whatever city, nameless city I'm in. Because we don't have the rights to call it Gotham. And New York is too cliche, so...
Yeah.
And the movie ends with, like, another montage of her, a CGI Catwoman, just sliding around on rooftops, which is, I guess, what they thought the best part of the movie was. I don't know.
And this movie won the Academy Award that year.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, this movie famously, Halle Berry won the Razzie for Worst Actress, and she went and accepted it. And then said something about the movie being shitty. But that's pretty cool of her.
Yeah.
And she goes for it.
Yeah, but
she's trying.
Also, I wonder what she saw in the script.
I think a bunch of money was in the script, Ronnie.
Really?
The script was rolled up and there was a bunch of money stuffed in there. That's how it works in Hollywood, I hear.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know what she saw in the... Because I think there was problems even during filming. They had to stop and then... restart it and film additional scenes because it wasn't working, and they tested it. I think they showed the trailer. Everyone hated it so much they recut the trailer without any dialogue, just to make it. Yeah, because and that's not a good sign when you have to cut out all the words to make something make something barely acceptable. It's like, let's just have no one talk, and then maybe if they see enough of a ass swinging around, we'll sell enough tickets that we can make. Oh, and then Village Roadshow. I know this because I have Amazon X-ray. Village Roadshow had to sell freaking their shares in an Australian advertising company just to show a profit for that year. That's how much this movie affected markets. Yeah, in a bad way.
So this is the point in the podcast where we do our final judgments on the movie. All right, Ronnie, this is new to you.
Yeah.
We decide whether this is a good, bad movie. A movie that's fun to watch because it's bad. A bad, bad movie. A movie that's just bad. Or a movie we kind of liked. A movie that we actually thought had some sort of redeeming quality.
Wow, that's a tough one. Do I start with
category does it fall into?
You spent five minutes thinking that one. Yeah. That's the end of the podcast? All right. You shut down the Hear This Festival with that one.
For the listeners at home, Stuart was so proud of himself, he's now wandering around the stage.
Patting himself on the back.
Guys, I would like to suggest that this movie isn't a complete catastrophe. Deal with it, guys. I think this movie is a good, bad movie. I think it is super dumb. It's filled with a ton of bad puns. If you are going to sit down with a bunch of friends and you're like, I want to watch a dumb piece of shit and laugh at how bad it is, this is the perfect kind of movie, I think.
Wait, you said that wrong. I believe it was perfect.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
See, I missed it.
Yeah.
Yo, she says that in the movie.
Yeah. I know.
When she's beating up the burglars, she goes, "This is perfect." And then she beats the fuck out of them.
There's a moment when she's fighting the lead henchman, who weirdly enough played the lead henchman, or one of the henchmen in the movie, The Crow, another movie about a poor guy who gets killed and then comes back
as
a magical animal, right?
Yeah.
I think that guy's typecast. So she's beating that dude up, and like he sticks his, like, she grabs his tongue, and like the first thing is like, "She's Catwoman, dude. Keep your mouth closed," because she's dying to say that fucking stupid joke. And of course she says, "Cat got your tongue?" And he's like, "Yeah, totally," but he couldn't say it. Oof.
I agree with Stuart. I think on the basis of the basketball scene alone, this would be a good bad movie. You know, like the idea that in a Catwoman movie, there's a like 4-minute long sequence where like where two people flirt using super cat powers to play basketball is astounding. And I think that that's the spirit that the whole movie has. It just, it makes the weirdest choices. I already mentioned about how like, yeah, like you were saying, the stakes of the movie are, oh, there's like weird cosmetics going around that could scar you, I guess.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
We need someone with the powers of a cat to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
So that's what I said.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was going to go bad, but then again, that
we
that,
swayed my impassioned plea, swayed you.
No, that basketball scene turned it for me, because when I saw that basketball scene, I was like, oh my God, this is, I would show this to a friend now. And that makes it a good bad movie. Like, you got to see this. You got to see this.
Like, please come over to my home someday, and I'll show you the basketball scene from Catwoman.
Yeah. Ronnie invites someone into the house and just it. Silently turns the lights off and locks the door behind him.
I was on a plane when I watched it, so I had no escape. But yeah, this place, yeah, it was. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure out if there's a bigger message in this whole thing. I mean, I'm a...
For us? Something that we can learn from it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking for years about how 60% of cats globally have toxoplasmosis, which is a brain parasite. And yeah, 60% of cats, it transfers to humans very easily. It's a correlation between having toxoplasmosis and increased risk-taking in women. And as well as if you're pregnant, apparently you're more likely to give birth to men. Who knows? All right, but... But I was wondering whether this whole thing was just a result of a brain parasite from a cat. And so that first cat we see in the movie gave Halle Berry a brain parasite. She hallucinates the whole thing.
Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you wish you could trade in your own family for the Pearsons, Inside Pop is definitely not for you.
Sean, that's a little extreme and also not quite true.
Okay, Amita, how about Inside Pop is the podcast for people who love and appreciate the best pop culture has to offer?
Oh, much better.
In every episode, we interview the people who create the culture you crave.
Past interviews include the production designer for Fargo and Tony DeCray from the DreamWorks Story Department.
You'll also get the very best pop culture recommendations in our Big Sell segment.
Plus, the opinions of two TV producers who are pop culture obsessives and actually do wish Sterling K. Brown was our cousin.
Kissing cousins, that is.
Listen to Inside Pop every other Wednesday on the Maximum Fun Podcast Network.
There's nothing quite like sailing in the calm international waters on my ship, the SS Biopic.
Avast! It's actually pronounced biopic.
No, you dingus! It's biopic!
Who the hell says that? It's biopic.
It's the words for biography and picture.
If you...
All right, that is enough. Ahoy, I'm Dave Holmes. I'm the host of the newly rebooted podcast, formerly known as International Waters, designed to resolve petty but persistent arguments like this. How? By pitting two teams of opinionated comedians against each other with trivia and improv games, of course. Winner takes home the right to be right.
What podcast be this?
It's called Troubled Waters, where we disagree to disagree!
All right. It's a live show. That means a solo ad read from me. And here's a little peek behind the curtain in case you are downloading this late. This is a replacement solo ad read. I originally posted this episode with totally inaudible ad stuff for 7 minutes. Great. You know why? because the sound bar on the dial thingy, the levels thingy on my digital recorder was down at 3 for some reason. And I, like a real professional, did not listen when I slotted it in. Anyway, I hope that our sponsors appreciate everything we do for them. Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if people download this and don't get their stuff. I don't know how best to do it. I'm trying to make it up right now. Let's hope that you didn't download this originally. The Flophouse, oh boy, is supported in part by Squarespace. With Squarespace, you can create a beautiful website to turn your cool idea into a new website. You know, your idea is probably pretty good, but if you think it's cool, why not turn it into a website? You can blog or publish content. You can sell products and services of all kinds and more. And as we discussed before, and more pretty much encompasses anything. Squarespace features beautiful, customizable templates created by world-class designers, a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions, analytics that help you grow in real time, and 24/7 award-winning customer support. If you're a customer and you want support, why not make it award-winning? Make it stand out with a beautiful website from Squarespace. Listen, check out squarespace.com/flop for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code FLOP. That's FLOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Am I fucking around less than normal? Yes, I apologize. Oh, brother, if you had heard the other ad read, it was terrible. It was the worst ever, but it went on for a long time. So if you like that terrible ad read content dragging on and on, I'm sorry that you missed it. Hey, guys. Jumbotrons. We all love them, especially the people who get them. And again, I hope that they get these Jumbotrons. Who is this message for? It is for Jay. It is from Laura. Happy birthday, Jay. This is the 11th of your 32 birthdays we've spent together, and I'm looking forward to so many more. Let's celebrate by watching a good bad movie and eating cupcakes. Yeah? We can even fit in some skipping down the street. I love you. And I love listening to podcasts with you. From one real pile of cats to another, row, row. I apologize to Stuart for using his intellectual property. I will be paying him what it's worth. This next message is for Armand, and it's from Emily. Armand, consider this down payment on attendance at a future live taping. Hopefully the Flophouse crew will do something before... I did this the last time, too. Before is capitalized. Guys, this is really important for you to understand. Before is capitalized in the next line. And so when I get to the point in the line above, where I should be saying a word that's not before, my dumb brain says, hey, that capitalized word seems important. I should probably say that now. And so it gets all jumbled up. Let's start again from the top. Armand. Consider this down payment on attendance at a future live taping. Hopefully, the Flophouse crew will do something in Los Angeles soon. If only I had known of Elliot Kalin versus Felicia Day at Angel City Brewery before it happened. But not to worry, I'm now following everyone on Twitter. All this to say, happy birthday and I love you. Jesus God, let these messages get to the people who paid for them. If not... I'm sure we can do something to make it up to you. Contact people and complain. I apologize. All right, let's just get back to the live episode.
So on that note, we're going to move on to the next segment, which is we've got about 13, 15 minutes. If anyone has questions or if you don't have questions, we have a letter we could read. But usually we take audience questions at live shows if anyone has them. But we don't have to.
Don't feel obligated.
If you're dying to come up and ask us a question about movies, please do get in line up by this microphone. But before you do that, I'm going to read us a little letter from a listener. Dear Dan and Stu, I've written into your podcast before, but never with the anger I'm feeling now.
Oh, dear.
You all bring something unique to this podcast, but Elliot has always been the heart and soul of the Enterprise. This was true even from the beginning, when he wasn't even on the show. And yet, now I see that you have the temerity to replace him so casually and callously with Ronnie Chang, who I assume doesn't even have the decency to interrupt you both regularly and without mercy. Well, this will not stand. The next time you make a live appearance, you better have Elliot Kalin with you. And you better apologize to him profusely. I have one question for you. What's your favorite thing about Elliot? Signed, Elliot, last name withheld.
even though I could see that punchline coming down the road, I still delighted in it when it arrived.
I didn't see it. I thought someone actually wrote that. Yeah, I thought someone actually wrote that in. I was like, oh, they're angry at me already? I didn't even, haven't been on the podcast yet.
What's my favorite thing about Elliot?
My favorite thing is that he trusted me pronouncing the word temerity correctly.
My favorite thing about him is that he gave the letter to you to read, so I didn't have to stumble over the words.
I like his glasses.
Oh, that's they're very handsome. There's also a second letter. Dear Dan, I love you. I want to go to Brooklyn sometime and see you. From Sammy Lincoln, last name withheld.
That's Elliot's young boy.
It says here, this is going to make Dan cry, and it didn't. So, fuck that guy.
So if anyone doesn't have a question, I mean, we could just
give them a chance. Wrap give them a chance. Give them a chance. There might be someone. Anybody have one question? Yeah, there we go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question.
Oh, what's your name?
Sorry. My name is Elizabeth.
Where are you from, Elizabeth?
Here in New York.
Oh, from New York?
Yes. Hello.
Okay, cool. What's your favorite? Oh, no, go.
Ronnie's just used to doing crowd work.
Crowd work, so. Yeah. What's your name? Where are you from?
That place sucks.
Yeah, that's crowd work.
So, lately, the website Rotten Tomatoes has mm-hmm. gotten a lot of press because there's many people in Hollywood, particularly directors, who do not like the fact that publishing the, you know, reviews of a movie ahead of time, it seems to sort of sway people in terms of opening weekend box office. And, you know, a lot of people do use Rotten Tomatoes now to sort of gauge, is it going to be a good movie or not? Do I really want to go see it? And since many of the movies that you review on the Flophouse are critical flops, but then are actually, you know, very successful in the box office, I was wondering if you knew of any sort of common themes to those sort of movies, like something that maybe you tend to take out as enjoyment from them, you know, these movies that maybe the critics do give like 15%, you know, rotten score, but then they end up being a huge box office success.
Are you asking if we've like sat down in a dungeon somewhere with a bunch of computer screens and we're like piecing things together with red string trying to find the relationship?
Because yes.
Yes, we've totally done that.
Interestingly, the Catwoman movie had shitty Rotten Tomatoes score, awesome Amazon score. Amazon score is like 4.5 out of 5. And Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
That was 4.5 out of 5?
Yeah.
I thought that was out of 10. That's crazy.
Yeah. The Amazon score. Sorry, but let me interrupt the question.
You didn't interrupt. You're answering the question here. It's tough to say. Like, I feel like a lot of directors love to say that they make movies for the fans, not the critics. But I feel like for most of this, I mean, most of the time, it's these, like, big, like, movies made by committee, by these huge studios who have so much money banking on something that, like, of course it's going to fucking fail because so many people are involved and everybody's so nervous about offending anybody. Well, by anybody, I mean usually just white guys. that they turn out some kind of piece of shit that just doesn't have any, like, doesn't make any kind of a message or stand or anything, and just looks like something else, or is in fact just a remake of something else.
What we're talking about, the common threads between movies that are financially successful but critically flopped, is that what it was? I didn't quite follow.
Probably.
A huge advertising budget.
That's true, right?
Yeah, like even...
Like Mordecai.
Yeah, like Mordecai.
It made
everyone
all the
that.
Money.
They're like, they looked at this, the poster and like, that guy has a mustache. That's hilarious. So they went. They all went. Everyone, remember when Mordecai Fever swept the nation, guys? That probably didn't answer the question, but we have to move on.
I am Mike. I'm from D.C. Saw you, too. Not you, Ronnie, but we were at the Pan Show.
The Pan Show, the lost episode that never got released.
People can listen to it as recorded by somebody's phone in the audience.
That's true.
It's not lost.
But for Catwoman, my favorite scene was in the restaurant when she's eating sushi. Because Benjamin Bratt just seemed to be really impressed by...
That's a scene where she's just stuffing chunks of sushi in her mouth. Rapidly. Like a cat would, everybody.
But my question is...
Was not using chopsticks, which is offensive to me for obvious reasons. She's taking the fish off the rice and just putting them up. Yeah, I know that.
So
yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
And, but my question is, the neighbors, after she destroys the party, steals the motorcycle, there's no ramifications, they don't call the cops, and nothing happens, and Benjamin Bratt is just like continuing to go along and doesn't know about any of the...
Yeah, because the biker dudes, they can't go to the law.
Yeah. I would have loved if they had problems. Reported yeah. it, and there was a scene where Benjamin Bratt's like figuring that out. He's like, okay, so the handwriting analysis, okay, the lipstick analysis. Wait a minute, her neighbors complained about a cat-like lady destroying their stuff. Yeah.
I like the idea that they have to go through a bunch of analysis when they just know it's their neighbor. Like, oh, it's that lady.
We see her through the window all the time.
We've told her to fuck off.
Sometimes
multiple times,
we
yeah.
catcall her.
Oh. This movie is for the birds. Am I doing it right? We have like 5 minutes left, so let's like run through these questions really fast.
Okay, I'll be really fast because this is from my friend since this is my first time hearing the show, and it was great.
I'm sorry.
She says, in all caps, ask them about the Hog's Bottom 3.
Oh, okay. So that's a thing that we do on another podcast called The Adventure Zone, which is much more popular than this podcast. Thank you. And tell your friend, maybe question mark.
Okay, we'll
yeah,
do.
Yeah, they may return the Hog's Bottom 3.
Wait, I'm not on the good podcast.
You might. Who knows? Maybe it'll be the Hog's Bottom 4, Ronnie. How much? What do you know about Dungeons and Dragons?
Enough.
That doesn't sound right.
I can roll a 20 with the best of them. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't
on,
even
no,
fake
nothing?
Being a nerd, dude.
What are you talking about? He speaks the lingo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nicole, I'm from New York. I was just wondering, with this movie compared to a movie like Wonder Woman, and we mm-hmm. have this movie that seems to be created by like 1950s style ad men about what women like, what would be worse for women? Like a superhero that had to solve the case of like Kathy in the comics, like find chocolate? Like, is there a worst like version of Catwoman?
Oh, don't, this is a trap, by the way. The correct answer is we cannot say what would be worse for women. We have no idea.
Wow.
Yes.
We kind of need you around.
I went to law school, so let's just save our asses right now. I don't want to hear about this on Twitter.
There is a great scene in Catwoman where she visits Alex Borstein in the hospital, and she's like, I brought a snack for you, and hands her a giant Hershey bar. And Alex Borstein just like tears into that fucking thing. It's just weird.
Yeah. I guess the way that this could be worse is if it was Stan Lee's Stripperella.
Yes.
What's worse for women? I don't know, but I just to quickly answer your question seriously, I just made a TV show. The worst thing you can do is not be authentic to your story. I think authenticity resonates with people, even if you can't relate to it. So when it's coming from an authentic place. So I guess the worst way you could mess up a movie about women is to not have women write it or direct it or whatever. But maybe you're going to have a problem. Yeah, I don't know. So Sorry, was that too serious for this?
No, it was great. Right, we've got one more question. Yeah. We can just fit it in, I think.
I'll be very quick. It's about that scene in Catwoman at the opera where the performers are swinging from ropes. And Catwoman ends up on the stage. I swear I saw momentarily that she was batting at the performers like a cat. Did you all see that? Or I might have imagined it.
Oh, man.
Like, that's the thing. That's when you know it's true art. There's like so much richness of it that you can miss something.
Layers, Dan, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Good. When I revisit Catwoman,
I'll look out for that. Yeah, but yeah, they definitely fucking at the halfway through. I'm like, we get it. She has similarities to cats.
It's in the title of the film.
We get it. Drinking milk at bars. She's fucking. She's.
Oh, my God. The milk at the bars. Oh, God. I want
a white Russian without the – hold the vodka, hold the Kahlua, and then just cream. Yes. She drank – fuck.
We could talk about this all day, but we probably shouldn't because there are other podcasts waiting to come in here. But I just want to thank the Now Hear This Festival for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I want to thank everyone who was here at the Javits Center who came out to us and, I don't know, missed who charted or whatever.
Thank you, Ronnie, for coming out.
Thank you, Ronnie, for having me.
Thank you, Delta, for getting me here on time. Thank you, New York Taxis, for getting me here on time. Thank you, University of Arkansas, for the great gig last night. Appreciate it.
For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
Hey, I'm Stuart Wellington.
Oh, I'm Ryan Chang.
Good night, everyone.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.